Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your bulletin, find the notes that are there inside of that and pull them out. We are in a series we've entitled Summer Q&A. This morning's question that we're going to address is, what happens when I die? That's a question a lot of people ask. And at the end of this, we're going to take communion this morning. Because you know what communion does? Communion reminds us of what's going to happen when I die. And it's a victorious time, and it's a wonderful time. It is not a time to be dreaded. It is a time to be excited about. And so we have these questions that we ask that we're going to look at this morning. Now, we're going to look at a passage found in Luke chapter 16. It's in verses 19 through 31. You would know it as the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, most people believe it's a parable. In other words, Jesus is teaching. He's telling a story that has some practical applications for you and I today. And we're going to look at them, and we're going to address them so that we are a little bit clearer in understanding exactly what happens after I die. Because you know what? There are a lot of weird ideas out there. Just a lot of weird ideas. So let's begin. The first one, our condition in life has nothing to do with our position in eternity. Our condition in life has nothing to do with our position in eternity. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and lived each day in luxury. He had all the money he needed. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus laid there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Now, I don't know if you could paint a bigger contrast. One man lives in luxury and has everything he needs. The other has nothing. And besides having nothing, besides being a beggar, he's got sores all over his body. How big a contrast is that? And what we're going to see from this story is that money doesn't help you when you die. Your status in life doesn't help you when you die. A position or a title doesn't mean a thing to God. And now we're going to look at two men so far apart in their position on earth, and yet it has nothing to do with their position in heaven. Job chapter 34, verse 19 gives us a little more insight into this. He doesn't care how great a person may be. He pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night they pass away. The mighty are removed without a human hand. In other words, equality. 1 Peter 1:17, and remember, the heavenly Father that to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward according to what you do, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. In other words, you and I are a foreigner in this land, and God doesn't play favorites, so it doesn't matter what your status is here this morning in God's sight. All of us are equal. Pretty simple, right? Good. Second thing. Death carries us immediately into our eternal state. The moment I die, I am carried immediately into eternity. Look at Luke chapter 16. Pick up the story, verse 22. Finally, the poor man died. He was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. Now, don't get hung up on a lot of little things here. What's the difference is? What's the deal? The deal is this. When Lazarus dies, he went to be with God in heaven. When the rich man died, he went to hell. The Bible says that the moment we die, we're in our eternal place. 2 Corinthians 5:6. We are always confident that even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. We live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we're fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. As long as we're in this body, we're here. As long as we're separated, we're at home with God. So the moment you die, the second you die, you are immediately in your place where you are going to spend eternity. Now, we do not become angels. Some believe, well, when you die, you just go to sleep. The Bible does not teach that. In fact, Jesus had to correct the disciples once because they were going down that line. In John chapter 11, verse 11, Lazarus had died. And Jesus is speaking. He says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Now I'll go and wake him up. And the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll soon get better. And they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Jesus is dead. Here's how it works. Man has a material part. It's called our body. You can see this. You can touch this. You can understand the operation of how the body works. It is a part that is material, and you can see it. But you and I also have an immaterial part. It's called our spirit. It's called our soul. It's the part of us inside of us that makes us who we are. We are identified by the outward material part. But who we really are is what's inside. You see, outside, I look all mean and nasty. Inside, I'm just as sweet as chocolate. Okay, I tried. Here's what happens at death. At death, the material part, the part you see, is separated from the immaterial part, the part you can't see. Now, the part you can't see is the part of you that lives forever. That's the part that goes into eternity. This body, we are told, will be going back to dust. We are told in the Bible that we get a new body. And so what we have to understand is the moment we die, our immaterial part immediately goes into its eternal place. In fact, in the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, the word for death means separation. Separation. We have not yet received our resurrected bodies, but we exist. The angels have no bodies, but yet they exist. So we have to understand that the moment we die, our body is separated from the interior, the immaterial part of us. Look at Ecclesiastes 12:6. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. There's a lot of pictures there. For then the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Luke 23:46. Jesus shouted, hanging on the cross, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. Acts 7:59. They were stoning Stephen. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now notice, Jesus didn't say, take my body. He said, here, I commend my spirit into your hand. I can commend the inner part of me, the part of me that no one sees, that we don't fully understand everything about. I give it to you. And so you and I have to understand that there is a separation that takes place at death. And the moment death happens, that separation, the immaterial part, goes to its eternal state. Now, let me just give you a little insight about this story. Prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, people were in one or two places according to the Jewish writings. It was called Abraham's bosom. Thus Lazarus taken to be with Abraham. Abraham's bosom. Or another word for it is paradise. The second place was Hades. Gehenna. Hell. It was one of those two places. And when Jesus died on the cross, he emptied Abraham's bosom, and he took the saints there with him to heaven. Well, how were the Old Testament saints saved? We don't know. They offered sacrifices. They obeyed God. God gave them an opportunity and a chance. Jesus says, look, I'm in control here. I will make the decision. Revelation 1:18, I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. In other words, Jesus, by his death on the cross, became the victor, and he now controls death, hell, and the grave. He now is victorious. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Notice the difference, the separation. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. It's those that died before he was crucified. Those who disobeyed God long ago, and God waited patiently, as he did with Noah, who was building the boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And so you and I understand that God works. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And today, he's the one in charge. And the moment we die, you and I are immediately with the Lord as Christians. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you are immediately in hell. Well, Pastor, that just seems pretty unfair. Well, understand something. There will be a judgment. You will get your moment. It's kind of like if you get arrested, you have to spend time in jail while you wait for the judge to render a verdict. Only we already know what the verdict is. But there is a judgment coming. You see, 2 Peter 2:9. You see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. Well, when's that day, Pastor? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small. In other words, those big people on earth who retained big position, those who didn't, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead. Now, how does that happen? I don't understand, but here, remember, the physical is separated from that which you can't see when you die. And death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. In other words, anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ is going to hell. Now, we like to believe, and there is a lot of different ideas around today, that hell isn't really that bad. Hell is horrible. That's not a place you want to go. I don't have time this morning to go into the description of it, but it's a horrible place, and it is real, and it exists. Well, I just don't think that hell's that way. I just don't think it'll last forever. Well, you know what? You cannot support that from the Bible. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when you die, you are immediately in your place of where you will spend eternity. And everyone will be told why they're there. Because when this great white throne judgment happens, you're either in the book or you're not. And you get in the book by accepting Jesus Christ. Let me just answer another question, because it always gets asked. Pastor, are we going to know each other in heaven? I think in heaven we'll know everyone, but not like we do on earth. Matthew 22:29 gives us just a little insight. Now, we're not told a lot about this in the Bible, but we do have a little insight. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. Now notice, it does not say they'll be like angels. It just says in this respect. So there is no marriage in heaven. You are not going to be there with your spouse that you live with on earth. Because here's what you have to understand. Heaven is not about a place to be with family. Heaven's not a place to fulfill earthly desires. Heaven is not a big Disney World. It's not a big theme park. Heaven is not a place where you get to sit on a cloud and play a harp. Heaven is not dull. Heaven is heaven because God is there and we get to be with Him forever. Heaven is all about God. It is not about us. Well, if I get to heaven, am I going to be happy there? Well, you're talking. I don't know that you're going to make it there. Because it's not about you. It's about God. Well, I want to have this, and I want this, and I want this. Well, walk up and try to give God orders. See how that goes. It's not going to happen. And see, we get so off track because we try to make heaven just a real nice place like earth. Well, heaven will be like earth, only there won't be any problems and sorrows and trials. Oh, no, no. Heaven's going to be nothing like earth. Nothing. Nothing you have here. In fact, the Bible tells us this. You have not even imagined how great heaven's going to be. Mine can't fathom it. That's why the Bible really doesn't get into a lot of description. You couldn't believe it if you read it. Heaven's greater than you can believe. So don't think for a moment you're going to be disappointed. And if you're going to heaven just so you can get a nice retirement plan or a nice retirement place, you've got the wrong motive. Why do I want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven because I get to live with God forever. That was pretty poor. That should excite us. That's why we live. That's what our life is about. Because after all, on this earth, aren't we to love God more than anything else? Isn't God to mean more to us than anyone else? Yes, He is. And so I have to understand that the moment I die, I am in that place where I am going to spend eternity. Now, thirdly, once in eternity, nothing can change our eternal position. Once in eternity, nothing can change. Well, if I get there, can I suddenly make a swap real quick? You know, if I get there and I find out I'm in the wrong place, can I suddenly do something to get me in the right place? No, the moment you die, it is fixed and you are done. Luke chapter 16, verse 24. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Now think about it. You're putting your finger in water and that's going to cool the tongue? Think about how hot hell must be. "I'm in anguish in these flames." Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." So in other words, once you die, that's it. Hebrews 9:27. "And just as each person is destined to die once, after that comes judgment. So also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him." Now as a Christian, when you talk about this final judgment, I'm not going to be judged for my sins because my sins are covered by the blood of Christ. But I am going to have to give an account for what I've done with the talent, the gifts that God has given to me here on earth. He expects me to work for Him while I'm here. Agreed? Okay. So that I understand that the moment I die, I am in heaven or hell, and nothing can change that. There are only two options when we die: heaven and hell, and nothing can be done for you after you die. Well, Pastor, what about purgatory? Well, first of all, you will not find purgatory in the Bible. Secondly, purgatory was declared an article of faith of the Catholic Church in 1439 at the Council of Florence. And purgatory was used to raise money. The idea was if you paid enough money, someone could pray for you after you were dead, and you could be prayed out of this place into another. Many years ago, I never will forget, I got a phone call one day. And a lady on the other end was pretty hysterical. And she says, "I don't know if you can help me or not, but my parents have been murdered in another state. And I'm trying to find someone who can pray for them so that they won't spend time in hell. And I don't know what to do because the cheapest I have found so far is $2,000. And here's a lady who is devastated by a loss, who believes that she needs to find someone who can pray for her parents so that they will be in heaven and be in charge to do it. I did my best to encourage her and to talk to her, to explain to her where we stood. But folks, there's a lot of thinking, well, if I don't make it, someone can do something for me. No, they can't. Well, if they're dead and gone, I'm not sure how they live, so I'll really pray extra for them. Pray all you want for them. It's not going to do one bit of good. Because once somebody dies, that's it. They have made their decision. They have made their choice by the way that they lived. You do not get a second chance. Now, down here on earth, while you're alive, you and I get chance after chance, don't we? God is faithful to us and long-suffering for us and gracious to us. But once you die, that's it. Nothing can be done for you. There's another religion that believes you can be baptized for the dead. In other words, if somebody dies and you're not certain where they're at, if you'll come, we'll baptize you on their behalf. Well, as we talked about Wednesday night, baptism doesn't save you. And you can be baptized all you want for somebody else. It will not change one thing. And once someone dies, there is nothing you can do for them, and there is nothing more they can do for themselves. That's why it's very important that, and the Bible teaches it, you and I are to always be ready, aren't we? Because on this earth, this is the only chance we get. What happens after I die? I'm immediately with the Lord. I'm immediately in heaven or hell. And once I'm there, nothing can change that. That's already done by my choices that I made while I was alive. Well, I'm here because of so-and-so and what they did to me and how they treated me. You will have no excuse before God. You have your own choice to make. Thus, the last point here, all have a chance to choose where they will spend eternity. Everyone has a chance to choose. Everyone. Luke chapter 16, back in our story. The rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers. I want him to warn him," being Lazarus, "to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment." Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them." In other words, what we would say today, the Bible has warned them. "Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they'll repent of their sins and turn to God." Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to what the Bible teaches, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. Do a miracle. Prove to them that it's right." You see the desperation of this man? "I'm in anguish, and I don't want anybody else to be here. I don't want anybody else in this rotten place. Hell's a horrible place." So he says, "Would you just send somebody else? Would you send Lazarus back from the dead? If they see that, they won't have to end up here." And the response, God's response, "I've given you the word of God. I've given you the life of Jesus Christ. He paid the sacrifice for your sins. And if you won't believe that, and if you won't believe him, and if you won't believe what's written, you're not going to believe a miracle either. God will be fair Well, Pastor, what about those who haven't heard? God will be fair. He will be fair. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time. Before the Lord returns, He'll bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. In other words, and here's what the Bible teaches, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside, the unseen part. So when this judgment takes place, God's going to look at the unseen part of every person. In other places, in Romans and other places, it tells us that God has put a conscience in everyone, and will everyone live according to what they know is right. So each one is judged according to what they know. And God will be fair. Well, if someone could just be sent back. You hear some terms thrown around today that are just laughable and tragic. Well, you know, if I could just get in contact with a spirit guide. The Bible says very plainly that you and I are not to attempt to communicate with the dead. We're not to attempt to say, well, I want to know if my spouse is there. I want to know if so-and-so's there. I want to find that out. Stop. Don't. It's wrong. A séance is a demonic activity. Isaiah 8:19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Deuteronomy 18:10. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. Do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you, but you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you're about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Now, there's a lot of things that go on in this world, in our country, in the name of spirituality that God forbids. And one of those is, once somebody has died, their place in eternity has been established. It is done. And you and I have to understand that everyone's given a fair chance. God's a fair and just God. And that we are not to try to have anything to do with anything that tries to raise the spirits. When I was a kid, it was the Ouija board. No. Well, I believe in the stars. I'm a psychic. That's ungodly. It's wrong. It's also quiet. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They'll follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. If a teaching doesn't come from God, where else is it going to come from, right? These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. We do not need spirits from the dead to tell us. We do not need special revelations. We have God's Word. And we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And to try to go anywhere else is wrong. God will be fair and God is just. And so you and I have to understand that that's what's right. Now here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible's very honest with us. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. You see, the people who are consulting the mediums and involved in all that stuff, the message of the gospel is foolish to them. And as the scriptures say, verse 19, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. There is only one way to be saved. There's only one way to know where you're going when you die, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and to believe that he alone can save you and that he paid the price for you on the cross. And then you live for him. You don't get to say, well, I believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe that. Your belief in Jesus is made manifest when you obey him by living for him. You don't just get, well, I've accepted Christ, now I can go live like I want. No, if that's the case, you haven't accepted Christ. You've just tried to cover yourself and cover all the bases, which is what the children of Israel did often. They didn't reject God, they just added other gods to God so that they had all their bases covered. But you and I today, as Christians, I stand here telling you there is only one God. And there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. And there is no other name under heaven on earth, the Bible says, by which you can be saved. Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Well, Pastor, I want to be ready when I die because I understand when I die, that's it. No second chances. Nothing can be done. There's not going to be any changes. No one down here can do anything for you. It's over. So you and I live a life that is prepared for that moment. And none of us know when that moment may be, do we? But when we live for God, we live with confidence in knowing my future is secure because I know in whom I believed, and I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. And that one day I will see him because I have accepted him and choose to live for him. Colossians 3:1, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Well, Pastor, there's just so many things about the end times I don't understand. Well, get in line right behind me. Because there's a lot about it I don't understand as well. But you know what? There's a lot of it I don't need to understand. Here's what I know. One day I'm going to die. And when I die, the immaterial part of me continues to live on, and it will go to either heaven or hell. And the only way I get to go to heaven is by believing in Jesus Christ and living my life for him. And if I will take care of that, everything else will work out fine. And God will take care of the rest. And so you and I take communion today as a reminder to us, I have chosen to believe in Christ, and I know what's going to happen to me after I die. I know I am ready to meet the Lord. That's the joy we have and the confidence we have today. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.